Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, the saved, the redeemed, the heaven-bound folks, and all those others who are listening who want to know how to get saved and be right with God. Hey, welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, the fastest half hour in radio where we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness, and discover God's will for our lives. We're in part three of our three-part series, Victory Over Evil Thoughts. Everybody contends with evil thoughts because we live in a fallen world. We've got a war going on, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the spiritual realm. In fact, you know what, folks? The scriptures tell us that we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the evil one, including the helmet of salvation to protect our brains, our heads, our thought life, the shield of faith to protect our hearts, because the Bible talks about how that heart of ours, you know, spiritually speaking, we think in our hearts, you know, the shield of faith so we can quench the fiery darts, the evil one. He sends fiery darts into our hearts, into our minds, and those darts are meant to catch fire and cause us to be overtaken by his will, his wickedness, and we need to put on the armor to deflect the enemy's thoughts and the things that he would put in our hearts and our minds. And it's not just the enemy. We have evil thoughts that arise from just our fallen flesh, the world system itself. But there's a huge war going on, folks, and this is part three of that series. I really want to encourage you to just really pay attention, because you want to have victory. Like Martin Luther said, you can't stop birds from flying around your head, but you can certainly keep them from building a nest in your hair. And we can't always stop these, you know, these arrows from being flung at us, but we surely can deflect them through God's word, through the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the other parts of the armor there in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I mentioned this time that we'd explore more scripture in this regard to get scriptural help as to what God says, the Lord God says to us in regard to how we can have victory. We want to have victory over this area, folks, because people's souls are damned beginning with thoughts from the enemy. In fact, there's a saying that I really like that I've quoted through the years. Sow a thought, you know, sow like as in a seed. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The scriptures give various vice lists. I believe Ephesians 5, around 5 through 8 there. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, I believe. Revelation 21, 8. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, where there's different people that says not to be deceived about they're going to hell. They're not entering the kingdom of God. Drunkards and thieves and adulterers and fornicators. Caters and extortioners and on and with those who practice witchcraft and sorcery, you know, Satanism, those kinds of things. You know what, folks? These begins with thoughts, these habits, these you know, this is unbroken rebellion against God that's unrepented of. People that are, many people saying, Lord, Lord, who he'll say, I never knew you on judgment day. We want to make sure we're truly following Jesus. Therefore, we have to watch our thought life and make sure that we're walking in the faith, that we have true, genuine faith where we're, that manifests in reality where we're following Jesus. So we have to be very careful in regard to our thought life. When somebody's getting drunk, well, guess what, folks? Are doing illicit drugs, it starts with thoughts, you know, discouragement or maybe wanting more fulfillment or satisfaction. Then they are led down this deceptive road. If someone cheats on their wife or husband, it begins with wicked thoughts. If someone begins to steal from an employer or someone, it begins with wicked thoughts. Unfortunately, many of these wicked thoughts happen when parents feed them into their children, when their children are the ones they should be protecting from wicked thoughts. In fact, I was reading an article recently by Dr. Michael Brown. It appeared in the Christian Post, and he mentions a, quote, six-year-old girl who was born a boy has become the first transgender child in Argentina to have her new name officially changed on her identity documents. Can you believe that, folks? That just breaks my heart that, I mean, when you're, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, you don't have a clue. And for someone to decide, hey, this person needs a sex change, incredibly sad story, incredibly regretful. Another sad story along that line is, it comes out of England. Last October, I was born a boy, became a girl, and now I want to be a boy again. Britain's youngest sex swap patient to reverse her sex change treatment. Folks, we're created in the image of God, the scriptures say, male and female. We've been created a certain way for a reason. That doesn't mean there's not, we're fallen. So we can contend with all kinds of wicked thoughts that come in, and the enemy can play with our minds in all kinds of ways. Therefore, we need to say, what does God's word say about these things? And there's such incredible confusion. In fact, the whole sex change thing, there's a man by the name of Walt Heyer, and he was dressed up when he was just a few years old by his grandmother like a little girl. I guess she wanted a granddaughter. Didn't work, so she started dressing old Walt, or young Walt at that time, up like a little girl. And Walt, you know, started later in life suffering sexual abuse. After he was married with children, he was incredibly confused. He said, hey, maybe I'm a woman. So Walt started taking hormones, had a sex change, ruined perfectly good organs, and became Laura. And after some time went by, he realized, hey, I was always supposed to be Walt, not Laura. And he had a sex reversal, you know, they did what they could. But he started a website called sexchangeregret.com. And I think it's interesting because a report on the website states, quote, the Belgrade Center for Genital Reconstructive Surgery says that they have received 1,500 requests for reversal surgery, end quote. 1,500, folks? It's just one website of people wanting. I mean, did you realize that many people had even had sex changes? But it seems like just pretty much everybody that has these sex changes regrets it, is miserable, depressed, wants to be changed back. But probably the saddest story I've read in a long time, and this shows you the importance of having victory over evil thoughts, is about a 44-year-old woman who just committed suicide. Her name was Nancy Verheist. It's a recent story out of Belgium where she was disappointed with her sex change surgery, and she decided to commit suicide, or I should say die by what they call euthanasia. That's just legal suicide, not legal in God's eyes, but in the despicable state's eyes. She was disappointed by her sex change, so she had lethal injection on the grounds due to, quote, unbearable psychological suffering. She claimed that, quote, the surgery had left her a monster, end quote. Well, as it was reported in the Belgian news, Verheist said after the surgery, I was ready to celebrate my new birth. But when I looked in the mirror, I was disgusted with myself. My new breasts did not match my expectations, and my new penis had symptoms of rejection. I do not want to be a monster. But folks, there's always more to the picture than meets the eye. This began with wicked thoughts that were stuck in Nancy Verheist's brain, her mind, when she was just a little girl. In fact, just hours before Nancy's death, she spoke of how as a child she was, quote, the girl that nobody wanted, describing how her mother had complained that she, quote, wished she had been born a boy. Kind of the opposite of what Heyer had gone through before he changed his sex back. Well, it's interesting. Her own mother says this, and this is one of the most disgusting things I've ever read in my life. She said, when I first saw her daughter, her baby, little girl, Nancy, my dream was shattered. She was so ugly. I had a ghost birth. Her death does not bother me. Her mother said, quote, for me, this chapter is closed. Her death does not bother me. I feel no sorrow, no doubt or remorse. We never had a bond which could therefore not be broken, end quote. Now, folks, how tragic is that? And obviously, her little girl sensed that, knew that, because she said that she knew her mom wanted a little boy. And guess what? To please her mom later in life, when it was obviously too late, and that's definitely not a woman you should try to please with the sex change. You shouldn't try to please anyone's sex change or moving outside of God's will. One we want to please is first and foremost is God himself. Well, she tried to become a man later in life, and she was disgusted with what became of her. And of course, as I stated earlier, she had committed suicide. Folks, it's critical that we love our children and that we pour our love out on our children, that we encourage them, that we affirm them as image bearers of God. We affirm them in the sense of, hey, we love them. God loves them. God wants to bless them. Jesus died for them. He's preparing a place for you. He wants you to seek him through faith so you can be blessed throughout all eternity, and that we show them the love that God has shown us. However, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're warned that in the last days, terrible times will come, for men will be lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, all these different things. And then it also says part of this viceless is that they'll have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And it says they'll be without love. And the Greek word there for love is storge. It's not your typical Greek word for love that we see over and over again in the New Testament, which is like phileo, which is, you know, brotherly love, or agape, which is, the noun for, sold out kind of love, oftentimes used of God's love, or eros. Eros actually isn't used in the Bible, but it's romantic love. But it's the word storge, which means family love. And it tells us that in the last days, people will be without family love. And a lot of people are dealing with wicked and evil thoughts because families are disintegrating left and right. There's no affirmation of their humanity and what it means to be created in God's image. There's a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. We're in a famine concerning God's Word today. So folks, it's critical that we encourage our young children. And as they get older, it's really important that we continue to encourage them to follow the Lord and we plant God's Word in their hearts and in their minds. You know, the scriptures warn that even if we're playfully mean to our children and then we say we're just joking, that we're causing incredible destruction. In fact, a lot of parents will tease their kids and call them ugly or call them dumb and they say, oh, I'm just playing. And you know what? You could be destroying your children. That old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not Bible. That's not from the Word of God. This is what the Bible actually says in Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? End quote. Now, it's not wrong to play and joke in certain contexts, but when we're being destructive and trying to hurt somebody, saying something evil and say, hey, I was just joking, that's very, very destructive. It's forbidden by God. In fact, Jesus warned that those who call others fool are in danger of hellfire, so we ought to take this very seriously. But you know what? It's really heartbreaking because this lady, Nancy, who committed suicide because her mom had called her ugly growing up and just was destroyed herself with a sex change. You know what? An interesting side note on that is Dr. John McHugh. Now, he was on the Presidential Council for Bioethics. This guy's a professor, famous professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University. You know what he says about the whole sex change thing? Listen to this. McHugh says this, quote, it is not obvious how this patient's feeling that he is a woman trapped in a man's body differs from the feeling of a patient with anorexia nervosa, that she is obese despite her emaciated, cachetic state. We don't do liposuction on anorexics. Why amputate the genitals of these poor men? Surely the fault is in the mind, not the member. Did you catch that, folks? This famous psychiatrist who deals with this stuff was on the Presidential Commission for Bioethics. He states, hey, this isn't about the members. This is about what's going on in the person's mind. And there's all kinds of people that are real thin bean poles who are anorexic because they think they're fat. And the problem is not with the body, it's in the mind. He's saying it's the same thing going on here. We don't all of a sudden give them liposuction. That's a great point. And folks, it makes the point I'm trying to make here is that Satan goes after the mind. He messes with people with regard to their sexual orientation, tries to confuse them. When you've got all kinds of pop culture, like Katy Perry, who claims to be a Christian, singing I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It and what have you, and you have all this perversion going on, it's no wonder kids are confused. We need to instill in them biblical truth to give them an opportunity in this world to follow the Lord and be right with Him. Okay, folks, after the break, we'll be right back within 30 seconds, and we're going to actually get into the scripture as to how you can have victory over evil thoughts.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Welcome back, folks, to part three of Victory Over Evil Thoughts. In the first part of this program, we were talking about a lady by the name of Nancy in Belgium who committed suicide, lethal injection, euthanasia. Really, it's just self-murder, illegal, according to God's word. And unfortunately, you know, she had a tragic life because her mom told her she was ugly from the time she was born and that her mom wanted a boy. She had a sex change later, probably trying to please her mom. And she was a wreck and she didn't like the monster she said she became. And then she killed herself. And incredibly, you know, her mom started with the wicked thoughts. And her mom, I read quotes from her mom where her mom said, you know, she has no feelings for her daughter. Her daughter was ugly and she detached herself from her daughter long ago. Folks, you know, no wonder Jesus said that it's better to have a large millstone hung around your neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than the judgment you'll face if you cause one of these little ones to stumble. Don't be messing with kids in any way. Encourage them in Christ, because you're in huge trouble if you're messing with children, whether it's polluting their minds or whether it's abuse or anything like that. We need to make sure we encourage one another, and we need to make sure we watch our own hearts and make sure they're for Jesus, because that's where the battle begins. I started with a quote that, you know, it starts with a thought and then our lives become, you know, we end up on a certain road, a certain destiny. Jesus actually said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. So it starts, notice those things start with the heart and thoughts. That's why the Bible tells us to guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ Jesus, to watch out regarding the thoughts that are in our hearts, that we should be filling our hearts and our minds with God's word. If you're listening to this show, you know, obviously that's your objective and that's a good deal there for you, because we need to be really careful, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's what's in our hearts that actually comes out. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Jesus goes on to say, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow, we're going to face judgment based on what comes out of our hearts. And what comes out of our hearts? Jesus said, the abundance. And what do you say here? Either the good you're treasuring up in your heart is going to come out, or the evil you're treasured up is going to come out. If you're treasuring wickedness and perversion and pornography and coarse humor and just perversion, it's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your life. It's going to manifest in some way. But if you're treasuring God's word, you're thinking about who He is, you're looking at His creation and you're praising Him, you're magnifying what an awesome God you have that gave you life and all His promises and the plans He has for us and how you can be a blessing to others. You know, those things are going to come out of your mouth. They're going to come out of your actions. So it's important that we treasure up God's word. You realize that's the word of God. That's Jesus saying that our heart is a treasure chest. And it's not about treasuring diamonds and rubies and pearls. It's about treasuring God's word, which is more important. The book of Job and elsewhere, Proverbs states that His word is more important than precious jewels, because His word's eternal. His word is what gives us streets of gold with Jesus and being in the presence of God forever. So we need to be very, very careful. In fact, that we're supposed to take action against evil thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I love that. King James talks about taking every thought, casting down imaginations and bringing every thought captive to the captivity of Christ. That's what we ought to be doing, casting down things that are contrary to God's will. And if you feel there's a demonic presence, use the name of Jesus. Say, you know, just I cast that down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. The devil will flee from you. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. In fact, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 tells us that we're to be diligent about this process of rejecting evil thoughts. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Folks, you see, it starts from the heart. So we need to be like soldiers, guarding our hearts from wicked thoughts that are contrary to God's will, recognizing that those thoughts will destroy our lives, the lives of others, and that we'll be condemned for them later if we go with wicked thoughts and we refuse to repent and turn to the living God. We need to look at the source, folks. It's in the heart. In fact, there was a village that I had heard about years ago where there was, people were dying in the village, getting incredibly sick, and some were dying, and it was happening all over the village. People didn't know what was going on, and they realized that the water was poisoned. But this was a village spring that came near the town that they'd been drinking from for ages, and they went upstream to the mouth of the stream, and what they found was a herd of pigs had been plunged off a cliff, and had died right there at the mouth of the spring, and their bodies were decaying in the water there, the pool of water, and that water was heavily polluted with toxins from those decaying pigs. Well, guess what? The mouth of our heart, folks. We have to make sure that there's not some kind of spiritual decay, pollution in our hearts where we're nourishing unforgiveness, we're nourishing malice, we're nourishing lust, we're nourishing bitterness, we're nourishing these types of things that the Bible says a root of bitterness will defile many. So we need to make sure our hearts are, we recognize, hey, you know what? We deserve to be damned. We hurt God more so than anybody's ever hurt us. And Jesus said, if we've been forgiven, we ought to forgive others. For if we don't forgive others, we won't be forgiven. Therefore, we need to examine our hearts and make sure that we're in the faith, that we're trusting Jesus. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why we need to have new hearts. That's why we need to make sure we're born again. That's why we need to go to the Lord and say, hey, you promised in Ezekiel that you would take away this heart of stone and that you'd give me a heart of flesh. So I turn to Jesus. I embrace Him as my Lord and Savior for forgiveness. I know I deserve your wrath. I praise you for redeeming me by the precious blood of Christ. And then we need to grow and be sanctified by the power of His word, which cleanses us, by the power of His spirit, which sets us apart, submitting ourselves to His discipline. In fact, Philippians chapter 4 tells us, be anxious or don't worry for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, did you catch that? You actually guard your heart and your mind by praying. That's why we're called to pray without ceasing. So it's important that we grow in the Lord. And then he says this, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And he goes on to say to practice these things. So when you put into practice praying and staying in the word of God. And then you know what? As we seek the Lord and we walk in the Spirit, we'll bear the fruit of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit works on life, love and peace and joy and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these wonderful, beautiful things. Finally, folks, we need to make sure we turn to God's word, because the devil wants to sow seeds of discouragement in our mind. In fact, there's a story of a man who was taken to the devil's realm, and he saw these different barns of different seeds that the enemy uses. But he saw one barn that was bigger than all the barns, and then he asked the devil, what is this? And the devil says, this is my biggest warehouse. These are seeds of discouragement. I've ruined many persons' faith by discouraging, by planting these seeds. And you know what, folks? How do we fight discouragement? We go to God's word. Jeremiah, when you read Lamentations, which he wrote just like Jeremiah, he's lamenting. He's in anguish over so much pain that he's going through. He's said that his strength has perished. He has no hope and all these different things he talks about. But then how does he recover? How does he get out of it? He says in verse 21 of chapter 3, he says, this I recall to mind. He brings God's word, God's truth to his mind, folks. Therefore, he says, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Folks, do you see the answer? When the enemy is discouraging you, you go back to God's word. You remember who he is. You remember that he loves you, that he made you, that he redeemed you by the blood of Jesus, that he's preparing a place for you, and that he has not planned destruction for you, but to bless you and to make you like Jesus. Well, praise the Lord, folks. I hope that encourages you. Stick to the Lord. Keep praying. Stay in his word. In fact, you know what, folks? I just want to encourage you. Just keep being in love with Jesus. Cast down the wicked thoughts. Embrace Jesus. Seek him. Seek fellowship with his people. Open the word of God and be diligent to guard your hearts. We thank you for spending another time with us here at the Good Fight Radio Show. We want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your hands in the plow, press on to know him and make him known. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, brothers and sisters.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
You.